common sense, uncommon sensibility. Real Talk Live with Jeff Lloyd right now.
Turn it up!
On the Bahamas Superstation.
Of ministers of the gospel of Jesus Christ have come out in support of it. So has the commissioner of police. So has the prime minister, the Right Honorable Perry Gladstone Christie. But there is one prominent clergyman, minister, who says no, we should not hang. And he can support it biblically. We speak to him in 30 seconds.
More Real Talk with Jeff Lloyd on the Bahamas Superstation right after this. Lloyd is on right now. In New Providence, call 341-MORE. The rest of the Bahamas, 1-242-300-MORE.
It is a subject, ladies and gentlemen, which has gripped this nation over the past 2 weeks. Ever since the outbreak by several prisoners of Her Majesty's prison and the resulting death of Corporal Dion Bowles, the Prime Minister, speaking at his funeral, has said that he supports capital punishment. So has the Commissioner of Police, Mr. Paul Farquharson, and included many, many members of the clergy in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas who feel that we should go ahead and start hanging convicted murderers. But there is a gentleman, an ordained minister, a person who is responsible for the Turning Point Ministries in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas, a regular weekly columnist in the dailies, who feel that just as biblically as those who claim that they can support the implementation of the death penalty, he can support biblically that it is wrong, that it is against God's divine law to impose capital punishment on anybody. We're going to talk to him in just a moment. But first, ladies and gentlemen, good morning. Thank you very much for joining us on Real Talk Live, More 94 FM, the last day of January in the year 2006. It is January 31st. A great privilege to be in your company as usual. I am also grateful this morning to be in the company of a great and outstanding Bahamian. He is Paul Miller. We're going to get to him in just a moment. First, we pay our respects to nutrition for lasting and possibly controversial subject today in a discussion with Mr. Miller. It's a privilege to welcome him to Real Talk. It's been a while since we have been trying to get together. I'm happy that we are finally here. You're going to be able to talk with him and have a discussion about this subject matter a little bit later on. But it's an issue, ladies and gentlemen, which keeps raising its head every time we have these kinds of heinous acts of violence and tragedy in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas. As a matter of fact, in the Tribune this morning, the Reverend Dr. Simeon Hall said that we should not allow our emotions to get in the way of the law of the land. As a matter of fact, he says, quote, one's position on capital punishment pro or con, notwithstanding, no one is in a better position to see that the law of the land is executed without delay than elected parliamentarians. And Mr. Bishop Hall says, acknowledging the recent increase in the debate on the subject following the stabbing of prison officer Dion Bowles 2 weeks ago, he said, quote, it would be most unfortunate if we allow prison officer Bowles' death to sink to the level of a political football. He continued, rather, why is the law of the land, which calls for capital punishment, not carried out? What is it about an iniquitous legal system that allows some to go free and some to die? He is only one voice, ladies and gentlemen, one of many, like the Reverend Dr. Rex Major, also, who calls for the implementation, the enforcement of the law which is on the books. That is, those who are convicted of murder, having exhausted their appeals through the legal system, should be put to death. And many of them, ladies and gentlemen, use their justification, the Bible, which, as we know, is the inerrant word of God, which is the primordial source and the foundation on which the Christian faith is based. They always compare and refer to the passage in it is Genesis 9 and 6, when it is said, whoever sheds man's blood, by man his blood shall be shed. For in the image of God made he the man. Genesis 9 and 6, and several others. They also refer to the passage in Romans chapter 13, 1 to 4, which, according to Paul, gives the governing authorities the right to exercise that authority to bring judgment on those who resist that authority, and to exercise and execute punishment accordingly for those who transgress the laws. But Paul Miller says, no, Jeff, no, Bahamas, just as well, there is also the Bible, whom he can use and does use to support that capital punishment is wrong. Let's have a conversation with him. Mr. Miller, it's a privilege to welcome you to Real Talk. Good morning, and thank you very much for joining us.
Good morning, Brother Lloyd, and thank you for having me.
First of all, I want to congratulate you on your prolific writing and contribution to our religious understanding in this community. You write for the, I think your column appears in the Nassau Guardian and has for some time, and quite a number of people, and you've also made some very important and valuable contributions to these discussions over the airwaves. But how are you doing, sir?
I'm doing fine, Brother Lloyd, and thankful to be alive.
Who is Paul Miller?
Well, as I look back on my life, man, based on where I've came from, I know I'm only sitting here by the grace of God. You know, I'm a high school dropout. I left school at the age of 14, and when you say that me was doing it right, I know for sure it's not me. Because it has to be the Lord that inspired me to write in order to put the articles together week after week. So I know for sure I'm a nobody, and if it wasn't for the grace of God, I too will be behind bars today.
And you are affiliated with what church and what ministries and so on? What work are you doing out in the Bahamian community?
Well, I'm the founding member of Turning Point Ministries, like you said, that started a little over 3 years ago. I'm also a Seventh-day Adventist, but let me set the record straight, but I'm not here today to speak on behalf of the Seventh-day Adventist Church.
I understand.
But I'm here to speak on behalf of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who paid an ultimate price for me and the Bahamian people and the people all around the world.
You, Paul, can I describe your approach to scriptural interpretation as being that of a literalist, a fundamentalist? Would that be an accurate description of your approach to biblical interpretation and understanding?
No, sir. I follow the Bible principle line upon line, and precept upon precept, and I also ask the Lord for the love that was in his heart when he walked among men to also abide in my heart.
So, do you accept, as do most ministers and believers in the Protestant faith, that the Bible, as is written and as is understood, is the inerrant, unvarnished Word of God?
Yes, sir. And the reason why I do that is because in the book of Revelation chapter 22, God gives a strong command to anyone, or a strong condemnation to anyone that adds to the word, or they take away the word, their name should be taken out of the book of life.
And you accept that word, meaning the literal etymological word that appears on the page or that is spoken by somebody, not the word meaning his understanding or his knowledge, his wisdom that is deposited within our hearts that brings us to a greater sense of who he is, and that helps us to pierce the mystery of this triune God. You come down on the side of this grammatical construction that we call a word.
Yes, sir, because the Bible says all scripture is given by the inspiration of God, and these men that wrote the scriptures were moved by the Holy Ghost. And Jesus said in his word, according to Matthew 4:4, that man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God.
Mr. Miller, this debate on capital punishment has swirled in our community for decades, and it emerges with a certain heightened degree of intensity and emotion at various times in our lives. The unfortunate death of our prison officer Dion Bowles 2 weeks ago highlighted yet once again this emergence of this passion that we seem to have for this death penalty. And a great number of people, including the Prime Minister, including the Commissioner of Police, and many Protestant ministers like yourself, have come out in support of the death penalty and urged the Bahamian people, even Dr. David Allen, Dr. Rex Major, urged the government of the Bahamas, the authorities, to begin hanging those persons who are sitting on death row and who have been convicted of murder, because they feel that this would send a clear message to those who have the interests, the lack of the interest of the Bahamian people in terms of their safety and law and order at heart. There will be a clear message to them that this will not be tolerated, and if you go down that path, you can expect that your life will be taken. You come out, sir, against capital punishment. You clearly understand how many Bahamians will see you.
Yes, sir. And I'm agreed to take any blows. Even if it means I must go in prison, I'll stand based on the word of God, that whatever comes out of it, I know I'm standing on Jesus' side and not on the devil's side. Because the Bible is still clear, thou shalt not kill.
Mr. Miller, those persons who support death penalty use the Bible. They claim that the Bible is very clear that capital punishment is acceptable. They refer to Genesis chapter 9, verse 6. They refer to Exodus chapter 21, Leviticus chapter 24, Numbers chapter 35, all speaking about premeditated murder as being given the ultimate punishment, and that is the death of the perpetrator. Some people say, well, that's Old Testament. What about the New Testament? Well, those who are in favor of capital punishment refer to Romans chapter 13, verses 1 to 4. I want to read it, and I quote, "Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authority resist the ordinance of God, and those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Do you want to be unafraid of the authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same, for he is God's minister to you for good. But if you do evil," this is the part that they really get to, "but if you do evil, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain. For he is God's minister, an avenger to execute wrath on him who practices evil." End quote. How then, sir, could you justify, rationalize the Bible as being against the death penalty?
Well, the same Apostle Paul, who wrote Romans chapter 13, just a few verses over in Romans chapter 12, penned these words. He said, "Brothers and sisters, avenge not evil, for it is written, vengeance is mine, said the Lord, and I shall repay." But the same Apostle Paul said, "Overcome evil with good." The same Apostle Paul was faced with a situation in his day, in the book, I think it's 1 Corinthians chapter 4, 1 Corinthians chapter 5, where there was a young man that was caught in the act of adultery. But he is in the act of going to bed, or had a relationship, or married to his father's wife, who was not his mother. And the same book of Leviticus chapter 20 said, based on this act, this young man should have been put to death. But the Apostle Paul didn't urge the congregation to put him to death, according to Leviticus chapter 20. He told him to put the brother away, because he said, "Don't you know a little leaven leavened the whole lump?" So here again, we need to go to the Bible. The same Apostle Paul, and another thing we need to realize with the government, if the government passes a law that contradicts the law of God, you must always go with the law of God. For an example, in the days of the king Nebuchadnezzar passed a law. He built a statue who God put in place, according to Daniel chapter 2, saying that at the time you hear the sound of the trumpet and the music and all that stuff, you must bow down and worship the golden image.
But not the three friends.
But the three friends stood tall. And what the king, what they saw, they told to the king, "King, have it been known this day, if our God don't deliver, then so be it." So here again, ladies and gentlemen, when time the government passes a law that contradicts the law of God, we must almost always stand on the side of God, suffering the consequence of whatever might come our way.
But Paul, doesn't this passage clearly affirm that the state, that the civil government has the God-ordained responsibility to keep law and order, to protect its citizens against evildoers. Doesn't this particular passage, Mr. Miller, speak about the sword, which some have used to interpret as being capital punishment, that God warns duly constituted civil authorities to invoke the death penalty upon citizens who commit crimes worthy of death? Doesn't that, as a part of the understanding and the interpretation of that particular passage, suggest that that is so?
No, sir, I disagree. You see, what we need to realize, when the Bible says that every soul be subject to the higher power, there's only one higher power, and that's God. And the book of Psalms will back that up. The only higher power is God, and God put these governments in place, and it'll be almost blasphemous for us to try to move them off the scene, because Christ put them there to serve their purpose. But here again, if the government wants to inflict a law that contradicts the law of God, says thou shalt not kill, the government is out of order. God is not pleased when the government put himself in the place of God, when God tells us loudly and clearly that when I come, I will repay. We can't get emotional about this, ladies and gentlemen. We must look at this through the eyes of Jesus. Did Jesus deal with the death penalty in his day? Of course he did. In the days when Jesus amounted, the death penalty was in effect. If a young lady and a young man was caught in the act, they should have been put to death. But how did Christ deal with the situation? He got down into the dirt, and he began to write whatever it was he wrote on the ground. And he said, he that was without sin, cast the first stone. Did Christ go against the law that he himself in put in place? See, ladies and gentlemen, always be on the side of forgiveness. And Christ himself, when faced with the death penalty, did not order to take the life of the young lady. And today we should be excited about that, because the Bible is quite clear. The wages of sin is death. And if it wasn't for the grace of God, where would we be?
But what about Paul, who says in Acts chapter 25, Mr. Miller, here's what he says, and I quote, "If I am an offender and have committed anything worthy of death, I do not object to dying." Paul, Acts 25, wasn't he acknowledging that the state properly possesses the power of life and death in the administration of justice?
He was speaking on behalf of himself. But even if the state had did it, that would not make it right. Paul was then speaking, and I said the same thing with myself. If I do something that the government thinks that it should have done, so be it. But I'm not going to tell the state to take someone else's life. Let them make that decision. We need to come to the point, Bahamas, where we need to put ourselves in the place of the person that is supposed to be on death row. Don't you think that will send a more powerful testimony? That when a person is convicted of killing your family member, you say, you know something? Let me go on the death row. Let me go on the death chamber for him and let him go free. Don't you think that will send a strong message of love than condemnation?
But when you refer to Exodus chapter 20:13, which is one of the commandments which says, thou shalt not kill. The Greek word, the Hebrew word in there about thou shalt not kill is that thou shalt not commit murder. And murder is the unlawful killing. Okay? You are ascribing to a government that they shall not commit an unlawful act of murder. But isn't the government empowered by God, authorized by God, because he is the only authority there is, and it is him who is expressing his authority through the people who ever elect that government to go ahead, and that is not unlawful because it is the law of the land, that is a lawful killing? And one would presume, Mr. Miller, that there would be due diligence, administration of justice, that wide cross-section of appeals and processes would have already undertaken so that this particular individual would not only be found to be guilty, but to be somebody of such an incorrigible state that one deserves to have his life taken away from him. Wouldn't that be the understanding that Holy Writ is imposing upon us, sir?
No, Mr. Lloyd, it sounds good, right? But if the government want to go back to the days of the Old Testament, talking about taking a man's life, he should take, then let's go by the whole law. It says if someone be caught in adultery, their life should also be taken. If someone be caught going with his father's wife, his life also should be taken. If the man live with his daughter, his life also should be taken. If the man is caught committing adultery with another man, both of their lives should also be taken. But the problem is, everyone want to jump on the bandwagon of taking some young man's life because he's snuffed out someone else's life. And this would make the law unbalanced. Don't you think more people be on death row for adultery than murder?
Paul, don't even let's go there.
All right then. So you see, this is why the Christ cries in the courts of heaven today of the injustice. For example, don't our government issue license for rum and cigarettes to be sold in the Bahamas?
Yes.
And they will give an account. I'll have them to know this day if they're listening. Everyone that dies from drinking of alcohol and cigarette smoking, and the record would reflect there are more people in the neck raised because of cigarette and rum smoking than someone snuffing them over the gun or cutlass. Am I right? And they would give an account. Now the government might be ignorant of the fact, and the Bible is quite clear in the book of Acts, in time of ignorance, God wink. And today I'm crying out for the government, if the people want to drink their rum and smoke their cigarettes, so be it. But don't collect no taxes, because be it known, on the day 2006, God has taken a record of what's going on in the station today.
So you're telling me now, Paul, listen very carefully. You're saying, okay, Jeff, let's just say that we agree for capital punishment. But don't let it, if you want to use the Bible as an example or a support for your capital punishment, the Bible also speaks to a rebellious child.
Yes.
Deserving of capital punishment.
Yes, let's go by all of them.
The Bible also speaks of sacrificing to false God, Exodus 22, as worthy of capital punishment. The Bible also speaks of violating the Sabbath, Exodus 35, Numbers 15, as bringing on the death penalty, cursing God, blasphemy. That's Leviticus 24. So you're saying even divination. Listen to this, Paul. Premarital sex, as worthy of capital punishment, which we know in Leviticus 21. So you're saying then, let's go the whole hog,
yes,
Bahamas.
Sir.
Since you want capital punishment, since you believe that capital punishment is the appropriate punishment for certain crimes, the Bible also says that this should be capital punishment. Why aren't you getting on that bandwagon and crying out for capital punishment for those sins which have done so much damage to people's lives in this country? Is that what you're saying?
Amen and amen, Brother Lloyd. And this is the problem. These ministers, are they afraid to die? I have good news for them. The Bible says the angels of the Lord encamp about them that fear him and love him. How would you know if you love God? John 14:50 says, if you love me, keep my commandments. So what if I go home today after to show my wife is in the house dead? My only concern be, did my wife make it all right with God? And you know what the Bible tells me? When I find a young man that did it, or a young woman that did it, I must still love them. I must still pay them a visit in prison. And if I don't, I will be in fire. Ladies and gentlemen, don't let's get emotional. We must always show L-O-V-E love. And not human love, agape love. Which says, I will die for you, even if you're not deserving to be died for.
But how would you respond to a person who says, ah, oh, come on, Mr. Miller. You certainly do not equate sacrificing to false gods or violating the Sabbath or divination or adultery or premarital sex or even homosexuality with someone taking another's life. Come on, Mr. Miller. I mean, one can uneasily understand that maybe that's a little bit too excessive a punishment for those crimes, but how in the world could you equate those crimes or those transgressions of the law with someone violating the absolute sanctity of human life by snuffing out that life tragically, premeditatively, and so on? What would you say?
I'll say like God says, the wages of sin, singular, is death. Not sins. What? Think about it. The Lord sent a message to Lot and his wife that he was going to destroy the city. And God dispatched two angels from heaven to guide them out of Sodom. And he told them, when you go forward, look not back. And Sister Lot looked back. And to this day, she's still a pillar of salt. God means what he says, ladies and gentlemen. If we sin, don't care what sin it might be, hate, envy, lying, cheating, the government's taxes, whatever it might be, we're going to be lost at the end of time. In the book of Revelation, chapter 3, and chapter 2 and chapter 3, he says, he that overcome it. Overcome what? Sin. We'll have a trip into the kingdom of heaven. You see, the time has come for us, ladies and gentlemen. If we're going to be fair, let's be fair straight across the board. The Bible also says that when, I think in the Bahamas we have something what is called circumstantial evidence.
That's right.
Where there are no witnesses to the fact, but once they can put some pieces together, they put a man on death row.
Yes.
You know, the Bible also condemns that. The Bible says in order for you to put a man on death row, or kill him, I should say, you must have more than one witness.
Two witnesses.
One witness can't even do it.
Yes.
And here today in the Bahamas, there are men sitting on death row, God forbid, based on circumstantial evidence. That's out of order. Someone is going to answer, if you're going by the Bible, that is.
But isn't this the same Bible, Mr. Miller? The same one that you claim to be your support in not enforcing the death penalty? When in 1 Timothy chapter 4, here's what Paul said about what you might call hardened criminals. Okay? There are those people you and I know who just simply do not respond to the most exalted, divine expressions of love out there. Paul says in 1 Timothy 4 and 2, speaking to Timothy now, and he's talking about those who are cold and cruel and mean, that even the threat of death does not faze them. Here's what he said, to let them be seared with the hot iron. Is he not speaking about capital punishment, sir?
He said their conscience has never held on because they have rejected or completely turned away the Holy Ghost. And this is why the Holy Ghost is so important. You know, Jesus talked about this Holy Ghost when he was here. He said, as it was in the days of Noah, so should be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. And what was it like in the days of Noah? If you should read the account in Genesis, it says the condition was so bad that man's heart was only evil continuously. But that ain't what I want to focus on. What I want to focus on, the Bible said the Holy Ghost was lifted from the earth during that time. And don't you know, ladies and gentlemen, the same thing is happening in the Bahamas today and around the world. The Holy Ghost is being withdrawn from the earth. And when there's no Holy Ghost, the book of John says, chapter 16, you and I would not know what sin is. Because it tells us what sin is, it tells us what righteousness and judgment. So without no Holy Ghost, then our conscience surely would be snared by the hard iron.
You, not you, but people like you, Mr. Miller, have been accused of being soft on crime. That you waffle and you are more concerned about the murderer than you are about those who have suffered some of the worst horrific feelings and deprivations on the face of the earth, and that is to be tragically separated from their loved one, husband, father, son, daughter, brother, sister, spouse. And that this argument that is put out here today by people like you and others who say, no, let's not hang them, that there is too much of a fascination, I shall call it, with those who have committed some of the worst act that you can commit, really, in human living against another, and that is the deliberate, and we are not talking about accidental here, Mr. Miller. We're not talking about two men who started out playing domino, one turned the table over, one slapped the other one, the next one stopped and punched him back, and eventually the other one died. It wasn't the intention of that person to kill. We're not talking about that. We're talking about some cold-hearted, calculated murderer who sits and plans and designs, who loads up his weapon, and who says, when he steps into that driveway, I'm going to blow his head off. Who may have done it before and gotten by because of some technicality of the law, or who may have had a murderous or a tragic or a violent past, and this is the culmination of their rampage through civilization. How do you respond to those who say, you too soft, and you are more concerned and interested in preserving the life of the murderer than seeking after those victims who he has inflicted, or her, she has inflicted, some of the most despicable pain ever to be received and experienced by humankind?
I have to be soft in a mental life because I'm also a murderer. I killed someone before. I was never arrested. And today I'll tell the police officers who that is. His name is Jesus Christ. And the Bible tells me, ever since I came to know him, according to Hebrews 6:6, if I sin willfully, I kill him again. So I have to be on the side of the criminals. The reason being is because I too was a criminal to my Savior Jesus Christ. When I misused him and abused him, even after I came to know him, I took him for granted. See, a lot of these young men don't know what it is that is driving them. It's not them, it's demons. The Bible is quite clear that when we come to the foot of the cross, all of us, we come to the cross with our demons. And the Bible gives a warning that if we should go back on the Word of God, more demons come in than when we first came. So it's right, it's not them. Let's be angry with who is really behind this, and it's the devil. He came to kill, steal, and destroy, but he's looking for vessels to use. And so be it, some of our young men and young women were used in that episode, and my heart goes to them the day of their listening in the prison of a majesty prison.
What do we do with a murderer? What do we do with a cold-hearted, intentionally driven murderer who, if they are allowed, will kill and kill and kill? What do we do?
According to the Bible, we must treat him with love. Make it as wonderful as possible for him, because if he has went to the point of no return, this is his only opportunity to enjoy, like say, heaven on earth, because the next time you wake up, he'll be put in the fiery furnace. Treat him with love. The Bible says, overcome evil with good. Heap a coals of fire on his head. Give him food. Give him water. Give him everything he needs. Because we know, ladies and gentlemen, if he went to the point beyond return, if he doesn't want to say, Lord, I yield, I yield, I yield, we know what his outcome will be, which is eternal death, and not only for him, but even some gospel ministers, God forbid, who are teaching lies to God's people today.
You say that Jesus Christ never supported the death penalty. Do you?
No, Jesus Christ never supported the death penalty, neither do I.
Some say that the New Testament do not support the death penalty, that it is an Old Testament edict, an ethos. You say the same?
Yes, I do.
Is the Bible the Bible?
Yes, it is.
Are we to dismiss some portions of the Bible when it is convenient or when we consider it to be irrelevant and only ascribe to one other portion of the Bible? Is that what you're suggesting?
No, sir. We must go by the whole Word of God. The whole Word of God from Genesis to Revelation.
But what about the many examples that I have cited to you, Mr. Miller? I mean, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Again, in the New Testament, Timothy, the book of Romans, a couple of places in Romans, even Acts. What about that? Doesn't that speak clearly, incontrovertibly, unambiguously, to the imposition or the support, biblically, spiritually, of the death penalty? For, again, Mr. Miller, please understand me, and let the Bahamian people understand the question I am asking you. For those like a Saddam Hussein who willfully, not just one or two persons, but even if one, only one, but in the case of Mr. Hussein, who put hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of his people to death, not just once, but over and over and over again. Do you think that if the state imposed and carried out the death penalty on such a soul, Mr. Miller, the state would be the violating the law of God?
Yes, they would be. As a matter of fact, in the book of Jesus himself speaking in the book of Matthew chapter 24, Jesus says a few interesting points in the book of Matthew 24. He says, first he said, because iniquity would abound, the love of many would wax cold. Then as you go down a little bit further, Jesus says, if you don't come and put an end to the chaos that has been taking place on earth before he come, no flesh will be alive here when he returns. So I don't know where do people get the idea from that once we put different laws in place, or once we get more police officers, or once we get more techniques, it's going to get better. Ladies and gentlemen, Jesus Christ himself said it's going to get worse. And when Jesus was here, he dealt with the concept of an eye for an eye, which has been placed in the papers moreover during the weeks of this event of the death penalty. Jesus said, you've heard it said in times of Noah, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you, kill them. That is what Jesus said. He said, don't fight the attack of the evil. He said, as a matter of fact, he said, if someone smites you on one cheek, turn to him the other cheek. If your enemy is hungry, give him water. That's what Jesus said. Do we consider the young man or debtor an enemy or a friend? We look at him as an enemy. But Jesus said, you must love your enemy. We must also not only love him, but bless those who curse us. And do good to them that hate us. And pray for them despitefully who use us and persecute us. Then he said, you will be children of your Father which is in heaven, who maketh the sun to rise on the evil and the good. That's Jesus' word speaking, and not man. We're either going to believe the word, or we're going to believe a lie.
But what do you support that the state should do with those who commit murder? What do you think that this should happen? If you don't put them to death, what should happen?
They should be in prison until they show themselves to be friendly with the Holy Ghost and with the Bible. And if they show themselves friendly with the Holy Ghost in the Bible, by all means, I think they should be led back out into society. But, you know, when I visit the prison, I always tell the young men and the young ladies, I say, the first time in your life, all your counselors are shut away. Is this what it took for the Lord to get your full attention? Think about it. All the counselors you got from your parents, your brothers, your sisters, the police, friends and foe are now shut away from you. And for the first time in your life, you sit behind a prison cell, or you with your cellies. And for the first time in your life now, it's just you and your prison cell and the Holy Ghost. Use this opportunity to get to know the lovely Jesus. And by this experience, maybe you could be the one that could win millions to the cross of Jesus Christ.
Some may say, Mr. Miller, you are misusing the Word of God today. And of course, from the same mind as you have, a very sincere mind seeks the Lord's will in your life and in the life of this nation. Another would say that, like you, they are misusing the Word of God. Where do the confused or the interested or the seeker out there who desires to know really what is it that the Bible supports, where do they turn? Who do they listen to? I listen to the Reverend Dr. Rex Major. I listen to this pastor. I listen to that pastor who can say with justification and rationale and very persuasive that the Word of God justifies, condones, you know, even empowers the state to perform executions. But I'm listening to you today, very persuasive and very credible in my mind, that no, Jeff, you are mistaken. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ did not abolish the law, but brought the law to a greater fulfillment by the pronouncements of Matthew 5 through 7, which we know as the Sermon on the Mount. So who do I accept? I mean, I'm listening to you on this radio today, having this discussion with Jeff Lloyd, and he's throwing everything at you. He's even bringing you biblical support for what those others are saying. Who do I believe, Mr. Miller?
We must believe the Word of God. Ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, but the Word of God said both things. I just quoted to you all the way from Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Acts, 1 Timothy, Romans. They're saying, yes, put them to death. They deserve to die. They should die for bestiality. They should die for homosexuality. They should die for killing. They should die for rape. They should die for incest. They should die for being rebellious against their parents or cursing their parents. They should die for so many different things, sexual as well as otherwise. I'm listening to that. I see that the Word of God is saying that. But you're telling me something else.
Brother Jeff, the only way you will understand what did the Lord have me to say today if you are in the Spirit. Spiritual things are spiritual design. The Bible is quite clear. Our carnal mind is not subject to the law of God and never indeed can be. The only way you will understand how deep the depth of God's love is if you are in the Spirit of God today. For an example, there are ministers of the gospel who use the name, Todd's name, Reverend to their names. Psalms 111 is quite clear. Reverend and holy is God's name. And anyone who takes the name of the Lord in vain will be put to death. You see, ladies and gentlemen, we must use the Bible. The majority was never right. Jesus himself never imposed the death penalty. The Apostle Paul never imposed the death penalty. And none of the Bible writers in the New Testament I know of imposed the death penalty. Another thing we need to look at too, it was God that ordered the people to be killed in the days of the Old Testament. We were under what is known as a theocracy government, where God was the government. And he gave the orders for the people to be killed. You see, only God knows the beginning to the end. He is the only one who knows from cause to effect. And the sad part about it, most of these ministers that are calling for the death penalty, by chance, maybe none of them went to visit the young men on death row to give them an opportunity to know the lovely Jesus, if by chance the state should take their life. I wish I could go, but you see, there's so much red tape. I'll spend a day in it and discover any one of them. If they kill me, so be it. Ladies and gentlemen, I know if I die and the Lord have a rise again. You see, I'm not afraid of. Now, when I was in the world, I was afraid of death. For 13 years, I ran the streets, and let me tell you, I never prayed. The only thing I prayed for was when I hop in a plane so I could get to Miami to go sin, that I don't crash. But on Sunday, I can ride motorbike with my friends. And it's because of some young man, some young lady, some mother, some father that prayed for me, I sit in the studio today. And I tell you, if you can understand the depth and the length and the breadth of God's love, there's no way ministers get on the areas and promote. Hang them. Hang them, hang them, hang them. God does not work like that. And if he does, ministers, please call him by the scripture so those in radio lands who are lost on this concept can hear it today. I beg you, call by the scripture where God say, hang them, I kill them. You remind me of the religious leaders in the days of Jesus when they said, crucify him, because Christ was doing a good work. And Jesus himself, when he hang on the cross, say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Who is he speaking to, pastors? Was he just speaking to the people that put him on the cross, or was he speaking to you and I? Think about it.
Do you believe that if hanging was to resume and they would go ahead and methodically and systematically and with a certain degree of consistency hang those persons who are on death row and others who will be convicted of murder after having exhausted their appeal, do you think it will make any difference in the crime rate in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas?
No, it won't. The Bible is quite clear. When the government say peace and safety, or the ministers, God forbid, should say peace and safety, then sudden destruction come upon us. It's not going to get better, ladies and gentlemen. We better brace ourselves. As a matter of fact, in the book of Revelation chapter 13, it tells us clearly, in the end time, it's not going to be the criminals tugging us down with their guns and their weapons. It's going to be the church. That's a program all by itself. Revelation chapter 13 speaks specifically that in the time, all those who not worship the beast in his image will be killed. The key word there is, who would you worship? Would you worship the way God say, or would you worship the way man say?
You don't think that the death penalty is and could be a deterrent?
No, it won't be. Never did and never will be. We have all examples, Mr. Lloyd. It first happened in the garden with Cain and Abel. If you read the account with when Christ came to Adam and Eve, and when Christ came to Cain, it's almost the exact same words. He came to give Cain hope. But Cain, beyond reach, went too far. And he began to question, am I the Lord, am I my brother's keeper? He should have spoke up. Yes, he should have said I was. But what did Cain do? I'm not my brother's keeper. And because of that, Christ said, tell you what, I'll put up a tekken edge around you, Mr. Cain, and your life will be a vagabond upon the earth. And Christ is still doing the same thing today with young men and young women in prison or even walking the streets. Because they have hardened their hearts, they are vagabonds upon the earth or in the prison system. And because of this, in hell, they'll open up their eyes.
Well, I'm not sure, and I only will quote to you just one bit of data that I have been able to put my finger on. And again, like you've indicated, there's vast amount of information out there, both sides suggesting that it is a deterrent, it is not a deterrent. I think you will agree, sir, that Texas, the United States, executes more murderers than any other place on the planet, certainly any other state in the United States. According to Justice for All, this is a non-profit organization, the Texas murder rate in 1991 was 15.3 per 100,000. Under George Bush and others, Ann Richards, who was the governor of Texas at the time, they began, of course, as you know, the implementation and the execution of the death penalty. By 1999, it dropped to less than half. It dropped 60%. Texas, the most aggressive death penalty prosecutions were in Harris County. That's around the Houston area. With the resumption of executions in 1982, the annual number of Harris County murders dropped from 701 before 1982 to 241 after the implementation and the carrying out of the death penalty. According to this information, a 72% decrease. And I could quote to you a number of other studies which show that when it is consistently applied, the death penalty seem to have a deterring effect. And when it isn't consistently or not applied, that the rate of murder shoots up in those areas where it is not applied. Now again, I'm only quoting from limited number of studies. I haven't done a vast amount of studies to show both sides of this issue, because there are those studies, again, and from Europe and elsewhere, who show that it really makes no difference. If you hang them, murders will continue and the same rate will be observed if you don't hang them.
The problem is, Mr. Lloyd, is we are given the thanks to the wrong person. It's not because they killed a young man that the rate dropped. It's because of the Holy Ghost. He is the person that stops the person from doing that which is wrong. If there's no Holy Ghost, all you're going to do is wrong. See, we want to big up a system or a product instead of we big up the Holy Ghost. He is the one that empowers us not to kill, not to lie, not to steal, not to hate, to commit adultery. We, outside of him, we have no power. The Bible says our carnal minds does not do think right. We cannot do that which is right unless the Holy Ghost work upon our hearts. And for too long now, we've been giving the thanks to where the thanks should be. It's the Holy Ghost, ladies and gentlemen, that empower men and keep things in check. And when the Holy Ghost is lifted from the earth completely, then we will see real chaos upon this earth.
Are we, in your estimation, in Paul Miller's estimation, heaping curses upon our heads by doing, calling for, and if we should carry it out, the death penalty? Are we, as a people, heaping the wrath of God on our heads by doing this, in your estimation?
Yes, sir. Because the Bible says, thou shalt not kill. Vengeance is mine, I'll repay. Render not evil for evil. And it's not just capital punishment. Anything that we put in place or in system that we know that is not of God, that causes the chaos in the earth. As simple as the movie going, do you know how many men and women are affected to do things wrong by what they watch on the television screen? I know of an incident right now where a family member told me that their loved one watched a particular type of movie, and that movie drove them to do something that they should not have done. But they didn't realize why that family member loved that type of movie so much until they got themselves in trouble. Movies are very dangerous.
Oh, yes. We know about the media.
And even music.
Yeah. Do you agree with Paul Miller? Ladies and gentlemen, you have heard him for the last 50 minutes. Do you agree? Do you accept his reasoning? The rationale that he employs, the justification that he uses, and of course, the source from which he bases that justification, the Bible, the inerrant word of God. A little bit later on, we're going to take your calls, your questions, your comments, and we want you to weigh in on it. A majority of the people out there feel that the death penalty is the appropriate form of punishment for convicted murders. And they use as their justification the Bible. Paul Miller today feels it is wrong. And he uses as his justification the Bible. Where's the truth? 341-6673. We're coming back.
Floyd right now on the Bahamas Superstation.
What is the appropriate response, Mr. Miller, to the burgeoning, increasing levels of crime in our society? Now, even though the Commissioner of Police have reported that crime has reduced by some 10% over the past year, for 2004, the figures which were available, there is still a serious concern about serious crime. Crimes such as housebreaking and murder and rape, these do not show the kind of appreciable decline or decline at all that the authorities would like to see. Yes, I do accept and agree with a number of people who say that we in the media try to inflame the state of criminality in our country by the numbers of murders that are committed. And a number of times, in some instances, as much as 30-40% of the murders that are committed against spouse or lovers fighting among themselves. And also, when we had that serious spike of murders in 2001, there was the issue that we know so very well about the drug matter involved therein. And that murder and the commission of murders is not a reflection on the state of crime in the country. What do you say is the answer, the appropriate responsive answer to the state of criminality in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas?
More than ever before, we as the people need to plead for the Holy Ghost. I'll tell you of an incident happened in my shop one day. Normally, when young men come to my shop, I'll always talk to them. I had a young man stop at my shop one day, and we began to talk about some of the things that are going on. And I didn't realize what the Lord had me say was registering to him. And he was telling me he's getting ready to go on a drug move. And I said, man, you know, you shouldn't do that. I said, because this might be the last time you ever go on a move, and if you should die, what side of the fence would you wake up on? He said, man, don't say that, man, because my sister just warned me that I shouldn't go on this run. And when I was finished talking to the young man, you know what the young man told me? He said, man, I felt like you could break anybody out. Why don't you go with me talk to my boss? I said, your boss? And when he told me what the name of his boss was, I said, you know something? I said, I'm not strongly impressed to go on your boss' turf. But if he was to come to my shop, I would talk to him. And today, I'm sorry I didn't go and talk to his boss, because maybe if I did, maybe who knows what might have happened. But I'm still trying to get to talk to his boss, and I hope in some way the Lord can work it out with me and his boss can talk.
Because if you had talked to his boss may not have ended up the way he did end up.
Yes, sir.
And you believe that you made a conversion of that man's life?
Yes,
the young man I'm talking about who stopped into your shop.
Yes, I believe the Spirit is strongly impressed upon his heart that he needed to make a shift. Now, I don't know where he is now, because I haven't seen him maybe over at least 2 years or more. But I know he's under deep conviction that he needed to make a turn in his life. If not, things may not have been good for him.
You're saying that instead of us talking about more policemen, more punishment, even, you know, the restitution of the death penalty and so on, that especially the church should be out into the world trying to turn the hearts of young men away from lives of carnality and criminality and so on.
Yes, sir. You see, a lot of people think that the Holy Ghost is supposed to make you fall on the ground and form on the mountain and jump up and down, but that's not the job of the Holy Ghost. In the book of Acts chapter 5, verse 32, the Bible says, "And we are the witnesses of these things, and so also the Holy Ghost, whom God has given to them that obey Him." So, if you're not obeying all the principles of God listed in Exodus chapter 20, you don't have the Holy Ghost. Does that mean He has left you? No. He is working with you, but He does not abide in you, because light and darkness does not communicate. You see, a lot of people get a misconception of the Holy Ghost, that you must speak in tongues and jump up and down and run all around. This is foolishness, ladies and gentlemen. When I look at the church today, I have to turn the TV off. They are making a mockery of the sanctuary of God, based on some of the things I see. And let me tell you something. It is registered in the mind of the young people, and it doesn't look good, ladies and gentlemen. I live in the ghetto, so I have an opportunity to talk to a lot of young men and a lot of young ladies. And right now, they have a bitterness towards the church because of the attitude of the church. Because the church right now has become a circus. It doesn't care about the young people. One day I was invited to go on a march with a group of young people, and I told the pastor straight up, if you really want to go on a march, let's just march to the downtrodden neighborhoods of the behemoth people. Let's sit down on the blocks with the young men. And when they smoke their dope, don't condemn them. When a young man finished smoking their dope, you know what I tell them? Young man, why don't you just kneel down and pray that your high stay up? He said, "Mr. Miller, you crazy." I said, "I'm just checking something." I said, "You know something, young man? You know why your high come now? Because of the love of God. If God's love is not still reaching out to you, your high would stay up. And you'd be lost for eternity."
You are disappointed with the state of the church in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas?
Not only me, but God. As a matter of fact, in the book of...
What is the church doing wrong?
First of all, the church is not preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ.
But they are saying every Sunday, turn away from sin and accept Jesus as your personal Savior. Because John 3:16, "For God so loved the world, He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall be saved." And just like you said, John chapter 14, verse 15, you know, "If you love me, you'll keep my commandments." And John 15, who says, John 14, "Let not your hearts be troubled." John 15 says, "Abide me and I in you. Without me, ye shall do nothing," cannot do anything. John 15, 4. I mean, that is being preached every single Sunday.
The church don't believe that. The church don't believe John 15, 5, "For without me, you can do nothing." Because if they did, they won't be receiving rewards, and calling for a TV station to come and take a picture when they give away a bag of food, and calling for the news company to come down to see when they give away some lumber to build a house. Christ is quite clear, ladies and gentlemen, that when you do your things in secret, He will reward you openly. The church is out of order. The church want to go on the record calling for these people to come down to make it look as if they're doing such a great work, and when the Bible is quite clear, if you get your reward now, you would not receive it when Christ comes. You will be lost.
Let's go to the phone lines, ladies and gentlemen. We want to open up now for our discussion. I asked you the question earlier, do you agree with Mr. Miller? And he has said that he does not, and the Bible does not support the death penalty. He's been very clear about that. For every scripture that I have quoted in support of the death penalty, he has found 2, 3, 4, 5 others that show that it is against the will and the law of God. Our telephone numbers are 341-6673. The rest of the Bahamas, 1-242-300-6673. Our fax line, 361-2448. Our email, it's realtalk@more94fm.com. We want you to be a part of this today. Let's hear from you. And let's make sure we understand what we are saying. This is not an attack on Mr. Miller. This is not a support of Mr. Miller. Do you agree? I agree, I disagree. This is not about personalities. This is about the issue. And as he has indicated, and I support, let's keep the emotions out of it. And let's speak from our heart. Let's go to the line. South Nassau, thank you very much for being a part of our program. Talk to me.
Brother Jeff, I would just like to clarify something. You guys are talking about the Bible, but people like myself are not coming from the Bible when we call for capital punishment. And I stand for him. And what we believe, and I don't wish for your guest to comment on that, because I know the Bible just like you do. Thank you, Jeff.
I appreciate it, brother. Thank you very much. Let's go to Oaksville. Oaksville, you're here. Thank you very much for joining us. Talk to me.
Yes, sir. Man, I've heard some of the scriptures being quoted on this station this morning. It lasts me for another year. Listen, the death penalty is mandated by God. The death penalty is required by God. The death penalty is supported throughout the New Testament. when Jehovah God had to swallow up or cause 3,000 Jews to be swallowed at one time for disobedience to him, you're going to tell us that God does not support capital punishment?
Who you said swallowed them up?
Pardon me?
Who you said swallowed them up?
The Lord God Jehovah. Then Moses came down from the mountain with the Ten Commandments and met the fellows them carrying on sick. And they eventually had a rebellion against Moses. A couple of the sons of the Levites.
I agree with you, but it's
yes,
God.
Yes, now I'm glad you agree with me. Okay, now my other point, real quickly, Jeff, I know everybody going to be calling here. Now, Mr. Miller, it is not personal, and Jeff, it is not. But I want to say that it was totally wrong, and it is wrong in my opinion, for persons like politicians to use these events to sensationalize their position or their opposition to the death penalty. We all know that it is on our law books. We all know that the Bible requires that laws which are on your constitution, so long as they're not in scripture, must be enforced. Now, I don't know if Mr. Miller has a special insight or anybody else has a special insight as to whether or not only they hold the truth as to what the scripture can say. Because you know, Jeff, as a law student and me myself as a legally trained person, that you can argue a case on two sides. But it is decided by the judge who is an impartial arbitrator, and that is God. So Mr. Miller can have his opinion. But the majority of the people in this country are demanding and they're calling for the imposition of the death penalty for certain type of offenses. And the will of the people, as Mr. Miller would acknowledge, is in fact the will of God. My last point, if I may, real quickly. Mr. Miller said that there are persons on death row, in his opinion, who are there because of circumstantial evidence. Now, Mr. Miller, I'm sure, is not an attorney, and I'm not going to browbeat him about that. But if Mr. Miller has any such evidence, he should take it to the Privy Council and have those persons released by the Judicial Committee. Because that is ludicrous. A person may be convicted partly based on circumstantial evidence, but a person never goes to death row. In my experience, and I represented 65 alleged murderers during my career, I got 65 acquitted. And I can speak with authority. People are not sent on death row based purely on circumstantial evidence. There would have had to have been a murder weapon. There would have to have been some sort of DNA. There would have had to have been a dead body. There would have had to have been something in the person's fingernails or in the person's hair or their system as a result of forensic investigations. So, Mr. Miller, you are wrong to come on this radio station. And that is the reason why this country is going straight to hell today. The Bible says it well when it is written. The people perish for a lack of knowledge. We have persons in politics and people in the pulpit who are telling the Bahamian people who may not know any better that this is the way it is. And they're leading us straight into the ditch while they profess to be correct. Jeff, take care and have a wonderful day.
Appreciate it, brother. Thank you very much. Mr. Miller?
Well, people are not destroyed because they have a lack of knowledge. They're destroyed more because Hosea 4 and 6, according to the Bible says, let's quote the whole scripture, my people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. But because thou have rejected knowledge, I'll also reject thee. Because thou have forgotten the law of thy God, which points out sin, the Ten Commandments, I'll not only forget you, but I'll also forget your children. Why? Because if the children don't know what the Ten Commandments says, if the parents don't know what the Ten Commandments says, even the children won't know what the Ten Commandments says. And this is the reason why people are going to be destroyed, according to Hosea 4, 6.
Let's go to Chippingham. Thank you very much, Chippingham. Appreciate your calling. Talk to me.
Yes, I'm Paul's sister-in-law. For the first time, I've always heard Paul talk this, and I was like, what is he talking about? It doesn't even make sense. And I was agreeing with the rest of the world. But for the first time, I really understood if the love of God is really in you, you can really forgive others. And I want to just tell Paul that I really appreciate what he's saying right now, not because he's my brother-in-law, because trust, boys have a lot of arguments against one another and fighting back and forth. But for the first time, I really appreciate and I could really understand, because I think it's really a spiritual lift with that is within a person. You have to really have that true relationship with God. And once you get that relationship with God, it's like the things of this earth would just be so dim that it's not going to matter. And I'm not saying that I'm giving right for the person who's done crime or done wrong or killed or murdered or anything. I'm not saying that that's right either. But at the same time, what he's saying, if we would go into the prisons, the pastors, preachers, or whomever, and convict the hearts of these people, I think we'll truly make a difference. I just want to say again, I appreciate it. For the very first time in my life, I've been in this family for 13 years, and this is the first time I really understood what he meant when he said that we should not have capital punishment. That's all I have to say. Thank you very much.
I appreciate it. Thank you very much as well. Let's go to Lewis Street. Thank you very much, brother. Talk to me, Lewis Street.
Good day, Mr. Lloyd, and good day to your guest.
Thank you, brother.
Thank you, sir.
You know, I just had to call in, especially when I heard what you're dealing with and how the scripture has been misapplied. The Bible in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15 tells us that we must study to show ourselves approved and rightly divide the word of truth. And see, when we come to this matter, sir, I would like to ask your guest this question. Sir, where are the...
Now, Lewis Street, let me suggest something to you, because I don't want it to be a tit-for-tat.
No.
I wish for you to make your point. Mr. Lloyd, I disagree with Mr. Miller. I do agree with Mr. Miller for this reason. Bang, 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 so on and so forth. Thank you very much and have a good day. Mr. Miller responds. You see what I'm saying? I wish for it to be. You see the way my friend Ortland just did it just now? He comes on, he makes his point, he expresses his opinion, he says why he agrees, he disagrees, and he hangs up and he goes, that's exactly the way I wish, and Paul responds accordingly. Okay? So take it.
Okay. Okay, may I speak now?
Go ahead. I'm just advising you how I'd like for it to be done.
Number one, first of all, I disagree outrightly with your guest because, number one, he's not rightly dividing the word of truth. We need to stop this cafeteria Bible study, and we must systematically study the Word of God. For example, when it comes to the matter of witchcraft, when it comes to the matter of astrology, the only authority clear-cut that clearly speaks on it is the Old Testament, which he would also agree with. So don't use this argument with Old Testament, but let's put capital punishment in its proper perspective. Before the Mosaic Law, before Mount Sinai, God gave capital punishment to government to be carried out in Genesis 9:6. He stated there, and Moses wasn't even hatched yet. God told them when Noah came off the ark, and God told them to establish human government. The Bible is very clear. It says, whenever a man takes a man's life, he pays with his own. Mm-hmm. Then we come to Paul in the book of Romans. He told us to respect the authority that be, because they do not bear the sword in vain. We also see Paul telling the young preacher Timothy to tell young people, to tell the people he preached to, that the law is for the lawless. The Bible says when in Numbers chapter 35, show no mercy to the murderer, but he that murder shall surely be put to death. And we need to stop misquoting Exodus chapter 20. The Bible there, literally that word is lotak ritzak, which means thou shalt not murder. What is murder? The unlawful, malicious taking of life. What is capital punishment? To put to death according to the law of God and the law of the land. When we see this subject, sir, we need to look at it objectively. Don't mix up what Jesus said our personal relationships are as over judicial responsibility for the sanctity of society, and that we would have a civil society. We cannot mix the two up, because now, of course, we know when people get saved, and we when you talk about the love of God, even though God so loved the world, guess what? Jesus had to die, because guess what? The justice of God says the wages of sin is death.
Right,
so Jesus had to pay the penalty.
Yeah, appreciate it, brother. Thanks a lot, Lewis Street. Would you like to respond, Mr. Miller?
All I have to say is, Brother Lou, Lewis Street, he have a thing for this death penalty. You know, if I have a question for him, and you maybe can call me after the show, I can give him his number to the producer, and that'll be, if Christ was on earth today, Mr. Lewis Street, would he go in Fox Hill and hang the young man on that rope? That's all I have to say on that.
Let's go to our next caller this afternoon. It's Nassau Village, and then we are coming to cell phone. Let's go to the cell phone holder first. Let's do that. Cell phone, talk to me.
Hi, Jeff, how are you?
Okay, sir.
Okay, Mr. Miller, good afternoon, good morning.
Good morning to you, sir.
Yeah, I want to let you know that I totally agree with you. I want you to be encouraged. This is what we need in this nation, the truth. I don't know if you can hear me clearly from my cell phone.
Yes, I can hear you very well, sir.
Okay, yeah, I want to encourage you to continue, and it will catch. It only takes a spark to get a fire going. So continue what you're doing. Certainly, I will pray for you, and the truth will come out on top. The Bahamian people need to hear what the truth is, and you cannot just be, you know, looking for blood. You know, you want the proper teachings from Jesus, and you want a solution. You want solution to the problems. And if we just keep our heads together and we pray, we must always pray and preach, you know, then we will have a beautiful land where God himself will bless us. You know, you listen to God's word, and he will carry us through. So, Brother Miller, you continue. I do not know you, but I know what you're talking about. And continue, and let us find the Holy Spirit. That's what we need to do. Find the Holy Spirit. Thank you. God bless.
Thank you.
Yeah, appreciate it. So thank you very much. Let's go to Nassau Village. Talk to me, Nassau Village.
Mr. Lloyd, Happy New Year's and good morning to you and your guests. Mr. Right. Miller, I want to agree with you, sir. Sir, but one thing I want to say, right, I think as long as it's on the books, I think it either need to be carried out or either be taken off the books. I noticed in 2001, right, they had a sermon in the Kendall Isaac Gym, and all the men to the claw, they was getting up and they was asking the government at the time to please do not carry out with the execution or the hangings. And I noticed ever since we had upwards of 70 murders that same year, and ever since we was averaging like 50 murders a year. I want to know from you, Mr. Miller, do you think that's the blood of those same people? We took their life on our hands while we going through so much murders a year?
No, the reason why we're going through so much murders, my brother, is because the people have forgotten the law of God. They have turned their back on God, and the result is chaos. No one wants to tell the people about the God's Ten Commandment law. In the book of Proverbs, God gave us a very clear word in the book of Proverbs. And he says, my son, my daughter, forget not my law. Why? For length of days and peace and long life will they add unto thee. In all thy ways, in the same book, it says, acknowledge God and he will direct thy path and lean not to your own understanding. So everyone wants peace. Everyone wants long life. But Proverbs is clear. If you want it, we must follow the word of God and not the gospel according to our opinions.